grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to trust you, to trust your sovereignty, your providence, to walk in faith that knows the very presence and power of God, such that with shameless persistence we ask, we seek, we knock for the good and greater things of God, especially the Holy Spirit, all to the glory of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, camping with my daughter down in Kentucky was enjoyable and exhausting. Enjoyable. Seeing all those fantastic sights. Exhausting. Hiking to see those fantastic sights. Monday, we were up in the Red River Gorge area of the Daniel Boone National Forest. Sky Bridge was our first hike. It was an 8/10 mile loop. Easy to the top and down to the underneath side of the arch. However, to complete the loop, back up to the parking area, there were stairs. The first of many stairs we would encounter during the week. Chimney Top Rock, 6/10 mile there and back. Elevation change, 100 feet. Princess Arch, only 6/10 mile of a loop. 100 feet elevation change, not too bad. Tuesday, Natural Bridge Park to hike the original trail up to Natural Bridge Arch. Have any of you been up to Natural Bridge Arch? There, oh, it's a great place. Hiking the trail up to National Bridge Arch, the original trail. To get to the top of the arch, not only do you have to hike up to the bottom of the arch, to get to the top of the arch, you have to hike through a narrow crevice. It's a natural narrow crevice with some steps in it. And the narrow crevice couldn't be more than, 22 or so inches wide. You had to squeeze through that to get to the top of Natural Arch. And then we hiked around to Overlook Point to look back to see where we were at Natural Arch. And then we had to retrace all our steps to get back to the original trail and get back down. Now, this distance of the hike, it was short. The whole hike was about 1.5 mile round trip. But that short trail from the trailhead climbed up over 400 feet. That's over a 40-story building, hiking up and down. Now you're getting the understanding. Wednesday, Cumberland Falls, and the falls were flowing fast and muddy from the downpour we had the day before. The mist from the falling and boiling water, it created a beautiful rainbow. We stopped in the store to ask where the visitor center was, for there was a sign, store and visitor center. But we turned to the visitor center, and it was the Moonbeam Cafe. We were told the visitor center was up in the lodge, so we drove up to the lodge and looked. No signage for a visitor center. So I asked the front desk of the lodge, "Will you check in for the lodge? Where's the visitor center?" "Oh, it's in the process of being moved from down below to up here. We're just not done yet." And so there at the check-in desk, I asked for the hiking map and got one, so we could ask where the trailhead was for Eagle Falls. We wanted to make sure we got it right, and we had driven by it earlier, but we were right, and the person at the desk says it's a strenuous and difficult hike. So we went to the trailhead, began the hike, and as we're beginning the hike, four runners, two men, two women, probably upper 20s, low 30s, came running from doing the hike. They were running, and I was going to walk it. I wasn't going to run it. I was going to walk it. So we start the hike, and we begin the hike, and Marissa starts counting the steps. She was counting steps the day before. That's not steps we walk, but steps we have to step up or step down. So she starts counting the steps. And we keep walking, and we began the hike counting, as did the previous hikes, up and up along the rock ledges. We came to a branch in the trail. We could go to the gorge overlook. Now, the gorge overlook, 1/10 mile hike. I mean, that's like going from my house to where the Schmids used to live. Less than that, 1/10 mile. But it was 144 stairs almost straight up. I was tiring. By the top of that, my thighs were burning. Have you ever hiked up steps so much your thighs just, oh, I can't do another? I mean, it was, my legs were killing me, just that 1/10 of a mile. And to top it off, the overlook was not much of an overlook. The trees have grown up, obscuring the view. Oh well, we went back down those 144 steps and picked up the trail to go to Eagle Falls. Oh, my legs were burning at this time. But back down, continuing Lee Falls. But now we have to go down, 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 back to the river level. And of course, more steps down. Well, all those steps you go down, you're going to end up going back up to go back. Oh well, I went down and we came to the place, and Marissa just loved Eagle Falls. It was beautiful. You could go swimming there if you wanted to in the little pond that was there, the puddle that was there before it went into the Cumberland River. I climbed over the boulders and found a place to sit down and rest, drink a lot of water, and have a granola bar. And I rested, took some pictures or two, and then after that long while, back up. It was not fun, but we made it up, up the stairs, up the trailhead. Marissa, if I remember correctly, Marissa counted, we went up and down 1,200 steps. After the hike, we sat in the parking lot back over where the visitor center was used to be and where the store was, and we sat in the parking lot eating lunch, and then after that, we went to the Moonbeam Cafe, which used to be the visitor center, and had soft-serve chocolate ice cream. That was good. Thursday, Cumberland Gap National Historic Park, and after some time in the visitor center, where Marissa got another junior ranger badge, we set out to hike. We went up the Object Lesson Road, past Indian Rock, to that historic Cumberland Gap at 1,600 feet elevation, but boy, did it feel like 16,000. 1,600 feet elevation, we took our picture at that sign, and in that gap, that narrow gap, the history of it, Daniel Boone passed through here. Over 300,000 people going west to Kentucky area passed through this narrow gap. It's not that wide. 300,000 pushing their carts, pulling things, or just carrying everything on their back. Just the history of that moment. And then up to Tri-State Peak. Just 0.6 of a mile farther. 0.6 of a mile, but the elevation change was over 400 feet. Another 40-story building. I sat down and rested and ate a granola bar and had a lot of water. Marissa, she had goldfish with her, and so she ate a goldfish in Tennessee, a goldfish in Virginia, and a goldfish in Kentucky. Along with, like, have you ever been to Four Corners out in Arizona and you put yourself in all four corners? Well, we put ourselves in all three for the tri-corner there, and then we hiked back down. Now, you may ask, why did I do all this hiking? Up all those steps with my muscles burning, exhausting, sweating, drinking lots of water, eating granola bars too. And the answer is simple and straightforward. My daughter asked me. The power of asking. At some time in your life, one point in your life, you asked and your life was changed. Asking. How about asking, will you marry me? That was life-changing, wasn't it? But if you didn't ask, would your life have changed? Will you marry me? Life-changing for many of you here, and many of you have reached that 50 years and passed that 50 years of marriage together. For me, I don't remember how many times I asked Heather to marry me, with her answering each time, not yet, till I stopped asking for a long time. Then one fall Friday night in November, snow on the ground, playing tag at Mount Union, I asked, will you marry me? She said, sure. She didn't say yes. She said, sure. Now, it took me a second. It took a second for that to sink in, so I asked again. She said, sure, again. Asking that Friday night, November 1st, was life-changing. And now, over 21 years later of marriage with two great, beautiful daughters who are so special to us, asking one question changes life. Now, if asking can do so much in life when we ask each other for things, how much more asking the Father will make a difference in the here and now, but also reach into eternity. On numerous occasions, the disciples had seen Jesus pray. For example, Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it's described this way. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In Luke 11, as we heard this morning, on this occasion, when Jesus was finished praying, the disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray." Jesus taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to notice, the focus is the Father and his kingdom coming. And that kingdom coming and the Father's focus is seen in the daily bread and the forgiveness of sin and so forth. Then Jesus gives a lesson on persistence in praying with a parable. And the key of the lesson is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 8. That's the key part of the lesson. "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." That verse 8. In that verse 8, there's a Greek word happens only once in the whole of the Bible. It's a compound word meaning without shame. This is a persistence of importunity, a perseverance. Would not stop asking until the request is filled for the bread to set before his traveling friend. So reviewing Bible translations of this one Greek word, it's been translated these many ways. Shameless audacity, shameless persistence, impudence, boldness. The phrase, "You are not ashamed to keep on asking." Persistence was the word that was used most often. And what this means is that the friendship was not enough to get the men out of bed at midnight to loan the loaves of bread. Rather, it was the not giving up attitude of the one asking. Like me never giving up asking Heather. Not giving up asking for the loan of bread. And as a reason he never gave up, the man got out of bed and gave as much as was needed. And so with that parable fresh in your mind, Jesus then says, "Ask, seek, and knock." That is, come to the Lord and ask. Yes, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, yes, you do seek. You will find. Knock. Yes, do the knocking. And the door will be opened for you. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 10, "For everyone who asks, he receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." It's promised there. Jesus promised that. The Matthew chapter 7 rendering of these verses were my confirmation verses. And what hits home for me most is that promise, which is in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. "How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The Matthew 7 wording is in verse 11, Matthew 7. "How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" That "how much more" is two words put together. Paso, which means how much, Milan, more, how much more, Paso Milan. Milan is added to the Paso, and the reason is that adding that second word, Milan, to Paso, it is to denote an increase of greater quantity, higher degree, more important than the less important. That is, the Lord God, the Father, will abundantly and freely give the Holy Spirit. That is, if you ask him. And it's to such a greater extent, it has to be adjectived to be that greater extent. Now, oftentimes, These verses have been used like an Aladdin's lamp. They've been used with an Aladdin's lamp attitude. Be persistent in prayer as Aladdin is rubbing his genie lamp, and you can get God the Father to give you anything you wish for, anything you desire. That's called name it and claim it. And it's what prosperity preachers do, and that's their perspective, and that is wrong. It is not the meaning at all of ask, seek, and knock. This morning, the context, I want you to pay attention to the context. What comes before and what comes after this teaching? Because that helps you understand the meaning. First, you find the Lord's Prayer, where the Father's will is asked to be done on earth. So our asking, our seeking, our knocking must be in the Father's will, for that to fit with the how much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit. We see this in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John are put in jail for healing the paralytic. The Sanhedrin commanded them not to teach nor preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Peter and John replied whether to obey man or God. Upon further threats, the two were released and they returned to the rest of the disciples. There the believers gathered together and they prayed. And I want you to listen to how the disciples concluded that prayer after being released with threats not to preach or teach in Jesus' name anymore. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. This is how the believers concluded their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, the disciples were asking, seeking, and knocking, and they were asking for the purpose of doing the work of God, to preach boldly in the name of Jesus that they're warned not to preach in. Well, we're going to preach even more boldly. It was for the kingdom of God to come and the Father's will to be done. And the Father answered by rocking the house and filling it again with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples and those with them went out and spoke the word of God, preaching and teaching in Jesus' name even more boldly. Asking in Jesus' name. Make sure what you are asking for is worthy of the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now contrast these words with the words of warning you can find in James, the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see the contrast. Asking, seeking, knocking to the glory of God is worthy of the name of Jesus. Asking for a greater portion of ministry, seeking to know the Lord God more intimately, knocking for that breakthrough of faith in your own soul, or knocking for that breakthrough of faith in a hard heart that you are witnessing the love and compassion of Jesus to. Those are worthy of the name of Jesus and will bring glory to God. George Mueller, one of my heroes of the faith, he set out to show the glory of God through the power of prayer as he had compassion on the orphans of Bristol, England. Praying for the Lord to meet all the needs. There would be no fundraising letters, no funding appeals. Pastor Mueller would ask, seek, and knock through prayer alone to the Lord God alone for support to do the work of caring for the orphans. And the Lord answered in a mighty way. millions of pounds passed through George Mueller's hands and took care of the orphans. But George Mueller did not build a mansion for himself, as you see prosperity preachers do. George Mueller did not ask for a carriage of gold. Well, there's prosperity preachers asking for airplanes. You see the difference. Everything that passed through his hands, the millions of pounds, went to ministry. He had a few items, a few books, and maybe at most 100 pounds when he passed into the heavenly glory that was awaiting him. I encourage you to read his biography for yourself to understand more of this praying man of the faith. I quote from George Mueller, "I now ask you, my dear reader, a few questions in all love, because I seek your welfare. I do not wish to put these questions to you without putting them first to my own heart. Do you make it your primary business, your first great concern, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are the things of God, the honor of his name, the welfare of his church, the conversion of sinners, and the profit of your own soul your chief aim? Or does your business, your family, or your own temporal concerns in some shape or other primarily occupy your attention?" Challenging words. What primarily occupies your attention? We heard from Colossians chapter 2 this morning. "So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Did you hear George Mueller's questions were basically echoing that from Colossians chapter 2? The things of this world occupying your thoughts, the philosophy of men occupying your thoughts, or Christ? And seeking and asking and knocking for the things of God. Another quote from George Mueller. "You must not depend upon your own worthiness and merits, but solely on the Lord Jesus as the ground of acceptance before God for your person, for your prayers, for your labors, and for everything else. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you verily depend upon him alone for the salvation of your soul?" Where is it you in your faith, the faith we share as the church? I wore myself out. I mean, I was taking the, was it ibuprofen, Advil, or I don't know what, but to cover my pain, my legs were burned, my muscles were burning to exhaustion. Going up those steps sometime, it was just, I could not take another step without resting. And then there's a whole bunch more to go up. But we went up. Why? "My daughter, whom I love, asked me." How much more will the Father respond in loving compassion to the one who asks, seeks, and knocks to be redeemed and saved by the Son of God? How much more will the Father answer our asking, our seeking, our knocking for the work and will of God to be done here in and through us? The Father loves you. The Father loves us. The Father gave the Son to redeem you. All in mercy, all by grace. So go ahead, ask boldly. Seek diligently. Knock with that shameless persistence. The power of God will move. All to the glory of God. Amen.